Hello. Here is your KVNF regional newscast for Thursday, January 5th. Republican Kevin Grantham will lead the state Senate next session. His party held on to its one-seat majority in that chamber. He previously focused on budget issues. He comes from Canyon City and says he's the first rural Senate president in more than four decades. He sat down with State House reporter Benta Berkland.
This is your first session as Senate President. Talk about some of your overall goals coming into this session personally.
Several things on our agenda that we'd like to accomplish. Probably first and foremost would be some reform on the construction litigation problems that we've seen develop over the last few years here in Colorado. And I think we actually have a realistic chance of getting something passed unlike the last couple of years. So,
has something changed, or do you think lawmakers have just learned from the failed attempts?
Both. And we have certainly run into some issues with prior legislation that we're trying to address. But other things have also changed, including leadership in the House.
I know with construction defects, it's to spur development of new building. Do you see this mainly as a Denver area bill?
Not necessarily. Actually, we see builders across the state on this grand scale of things. Certainly Denver actually has the most problems with affordable housing, and so it will probably see the most benefit from reform like this. But this isn't something that will not benefit rural Colorado. In fact, there are builders out in rural Colorado that are excited about some of these changes because, like anybody even here, the big developers in Denver, the little guy out in rural Colorado has trouble affording those insurance rates just as much as the guys here in the big city.
Republicans have a one-seat majority in the Senate. Does that change how you govern when it is so narrow? And as you know, nationally, we have a divided country coming off the presidential race.
It's on a case-by-case basis. You know, it depends on the issue, it depends on the circumstances, and it depends on who's on which side of which issues.
When Trump won the nomination, you at the time said you didn't trust that he was truly conservative and you weren't that pleased with him being the nominee. Now he is going to be the president. Are there certain things you're going to be specifically looking at to see from him? And do you think anything will impact what happens during the session?
You know, even back then, I was always hopeful that he was every bit as conservative as people thought he was. And from what I've seen so far on some of his appointments, I'm even more hopeful and optimistic over what a Trump presidency will look like.
It sounds like energy will be a big focus with, I know the minority party in your chamber has appointed kind of an energy czar, and then your party has a select committee on energy.
The select committee on energy will focus on many of these issues when it comes to what's happening in D.C. and some of the changes that we might be seeing coming from there, how we can respond to those effectively during the 120-day session.
You'd previously served on the Joint Budget Committee. What do you see as the biggest budget challenges coming into this session?
Well, the biggest budget challenge is the ever-increasing amount that we're having to pay on Medicaid and for the expansions. It's cutting into some of our other, what we feel are necessary functions of government, including transportation infrastructure. That's going to be another one of our main focuses. We're hopeful, actually, to find that solution this year, and it will be a multifaceted solution if we were able to get it done before the middle of May.
Would you consider referring something to voters and letting voters decide whether they'd want to raise the gas tax or come up with some other revenue stream?
If there is going to be a long-term solution to transportation infrastructure, it's going to almost certainly require something that the voters are going to have to weigh in on. What that is, what that looks like, we're still talking about, and we'll continue to address right up to the session and through the session. But what that looks like, I'm not sure, but almost certainly it will be something that the voters will get to weigh in on.
That was Senate President-elect Kevin Grantham from Canyon City. I'm Benta Berkland in Denver.
On the eve of the opening session on January 11th, stay tuned for Benta Berkland's interview with Governor John Hickenlooper, tomorrow on the KVNF Regional Newscast. The Town of Paonia Board of Trustees is continuing its search for a full-time town administrator. The board held a special meeting on January 3rd with one agenda item, an executive session to discuss the matter. No action was taken when the executive session ended later that night. The pool of candidates for the board to choose from has been whittled down from five finalists to two after interim town administrator Dan Dean accepted a job in Nebraska. Dean took over the interim job in Paonia last September after Jane Berry resigned. Dean will continue his duties as interim town administrator until January 28th. The two remaining candidates for the full-time job are Larry Lawrenson of Wellington and Kenneth Knight of Marlin, Texas. Discussions about hiring a town administrator are ongoing. Mayor Charles Stewart told KVNF News that the matter will most likely be on the agenda for the regular meeting of the Board of Trustees on January 10th, although he said that agenda has not yet been set. The executive session conducted by the board on Tuesday night was the fourth such meeting regarding a town administrator. Executive sessions are not open to the public or to the media. Since Stewart was sworn in as mayor on April 26th of last year, the Paonia Board of Trustees has held 16 executive sessions. And the Colorado Department of Transportation issued a press release Wednesday afternoon warning motorists to be careful during the winter storm that's wreaking havoc on Colorado highways. The slow-moving storm is expected to impact travel statewide for most of the week. CDOT is warning motorists that winter storm conditions began Wednesday morning and made driving treacherous on highways all around the state. Hazardous driving conditions are expected to continue through the weekend. Heavy snow is predicted for the northern and southwest mountains. The accumulation of 1 to 2 feet of snow prompted the Colorado Avalanche Information Center to caution drivers about likely snowslide mitigation, especially on mountain passes. Avalanche control work will cause travel delays as CDOT crews work to remove snow and plows then clear the roads. Some of the heaviest snow is expected in the San Juan Mountains, where 1 to 2 feet is expected through tonight, with snow ending Friday evening. Avalanche control work and subsequent delays will be likely on most mountain passes in the region. Both passenger and commercial motorists should be aware of Colorado's chain and traction laws, which are implemented when conditions require it. When either law is in effect, highway signs will be activated. Without proper equipment, motorists can be fined $130. If your vehicle blocks the roadway, fines over $650 can be charged. Up-to-date travel advisories and warnings are available at cotrip.org. That's cotrip.org. And that was your regional newscast for Thursday. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thank you.